Today I'm continuing on the parable series, and we're going to talk about the kingdom of God. Say the kingdom of God. Okay, Paul tells us in Romans chapter 14, one of my very favorite verses, is he tells us that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Okay, those things are the things that are key to the kingdom of God. What the kingdom of God is, it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And what I want to tell you today is that if you're seeking righteousness, if you're seeking peace, if you're seeking joy, that these things are only truly accessible through Jesus. Okay? Any other version of those things that we have in our lives, they're imposters, right? They're temporary. It may seem like you have it for a moment, and then you'll wonder, where in the world did that go? What happened? It's an imposter. You have to access it through Christ. Some other things the word tells us about the kingdom of God says that the kingdom of God is at hand, right? It is near. We're told the kingdom of God is within you. We're told the kingdom of God suffers violence, right? We don't like to talk about that one too much because that doesn't sound very fun, but the kingdom of God does have great opposition. It does have forces and powers that are coming against it. That's a biblical truth. We're told the kingdom of God is not of this world. Now, some of you are like, yeah, duh, the kingdom of God is not of this world. But I think sometimes we really lose sight of it, is that the kingdom of God is not of this world. It's not a worldly thing. It's not a thing that you can just access through worldly means. You can only access it through the Spirit, through what Christ has done for you. We're told that the kingdom of God is something that without being born again, that you can't even see it. You can't even see it. This is big stuff, guys, because, you know, there's people that are searching, and I've met with some of you in this room and people that are not in this room, and one of the things I always talk about is a lot of people believe that they're saved, right? And I'm going to tell you, I'm not the judge of whether you're saved or not. Jesus is. But I'm going to tell you, a lot of people would say that they're saved, but if you would ask the question, one of my first questions is, have you given your life to Christ? And I get a lot of really confused responses. And when I get a confused response, that's where it's okay. Have you been born again? Right? This is the path we go down because there's something that's beyond just believing that Jesus existed. There's something greater, which is giving your life to him. That's being born again. And Jesus says, without being born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God. Can you hear about the kingdom of God? Yeah, you can hear about it, but spiritually, you can't see it. You can't really understand it. You can't really fathom what that fully means. And then we're also told that it's the Father's pleasure to give the kingdom of God to you. Okay? This is for all people. It's the Father's pleasure to give the kingdom of God. It's not something that he's holding back and it's like, well, I'll give it to you and you, but you're not worthy. Right? Jesus came and died for the world. He so loved the world that he gave his only son, and his pleasure is to give the kingdom to you. And so today in this parable, I'm actually going to look at two parables about the seed. And when we look at these parables about the seed, the whole purpose of these parables is Jesus is saying, this is what the kingdom of God is like. It's the whole purpose of the parables, both of them. This is what the kingdom of God is like. So we're in Mark chapter 4, if you'd like to follow along, otherwise it'll be on the screen behind me too. Verse 26 says, the kingdom of God is like this. A man scatters seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises, night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He doesn't know how. The soil produces a crop by itself, first the blade, then the head, then the ripe grain on the head. But as soon as the crop is ready, he sends forth the sickle because the harvest has come. This is a picture of the kingdom of God. We have this man. Let me tell you who this man represents. It's important when we read a parable to understand who is the man, who are the objects, because sometimes it's speaking of God and sometimes it's speaking of us, and we've got to kind of really study it and break it down. It's important, but the man in this that's scattering seed is not Jesus. It's you and me. It's believers. It's Christians. It's the followers of God. It says that they are the sowers of the seed, the scatterers of the seed. They have this seed. What is the seed? It's the gospel, the word, right? It's the truth. And this word, it's our job as the believers to scatter this seed. And then we have the soil. The soil is the hearts of other people, okay? This is the prepared ground, or it could be the unprepared ground, but it's the ground, it's the heart of others. So it's our job to scatter the word, the gospel, to other people. How many of you guys that, just let's just be honest, that kind of at least a little bit terrifies you? It's okay, right? It can be a scary thing, okay? And listen, it's been a lot of years, but we've done door-to-door evangelism before, and I'm going to tell you, that is frightening, okay? But I've had a door slammed in my face by a, like, this is how it was. It was me and Tasha Dial and Kaylee. We're in a group. We're in Brownstown, knocked on a door. You guys know Brownstown needs to be saved, right? I'm not saying more than St. Elmo. I'm just saying it does, right? St. Elmo also needs to be saved. But we were in Brownstown, and this is what the lady said. We had a little flyer, and we were like, I mean, if you know Tasha and Kaylee, they're very sweet people, very, very nice, bubbly. And it was like we're just like, hey, you know, how are you today? And we start to talk to her, and she says, I already go to church, and slammed the door in our face. I mean, like, right in our face. And we're just kind of like, well, maybe you should try another one or something. I mean, or try going more often, or like maybe getting some counseling. I don't know. But it's our job to scatter the seed. But when we start talking about it's your job to share the gospel, I don't know about you, but those are the things that start to enter my mind. Is I'm like, I don't want to go knock on people's doors. Like, there's a reason that somebody's on the other side of a closed door. They don't want to talk to you, or they might be sitting on the porch, right? That's society now. Everybody's inside or in the backyard that's fenced in. They don't sit on the front porch. They don't want to talk to you. Go away. Okay, so when we think about it in that manner, it can be frightening, but I want to tell you that it's not about that. That's not really the goal. It's not really what Jesus was trying to tell us about here. It starts with this man scattering seed, and I want to tell you that if you think about scattering seed, okay, it's really like throwing it around. I really thought about doing this, but I don't necessarily clean the sanctuary, and I didn't want to just start like throwing seed around, and somebody else has to clean it all up, then I would feel bad. But it's kind of like if you just have that pocket of seed, and you just, as you're walking around, you're just like, you know, you're just kind of throwing it wherever it goes. That's what he's saying here, scattering the seed. It's throwing it around. It's doing it kind of haphazardly, right? It's not like this real detailed, we set and we planned this out and we got a map. It's just as you're going along, you're just kind of throwing it out and seeing what it will do. It's not necessarily using skill or a method. It's not after watching hours of YouTube videos of how do I share the gospel and then like, okay, I'm ready to go knock on somebody's door. And I'm going to tell you, if you feel led to do that, please do it. I'm just saying we automatically revert to that when we think about sharing the gospel, and that's not all there is to it. It's not necessarily about taking a class on it. It's this man takes the seed that he has, and he just kind of tosses it around. How many of you guys did this as a kid with watermelon seeds or pumpkin seeds, right? You just like kind of throw them out in the yard, or maybe even more innocently, you're just like spitting, right? Spitting the watermelon seeds out in the yard. And maybe you happen to spit them in a couple of places, maybe in like your dad's landscaping or something like that. And before long, there begins to grow a plant, right? And your dad's like, why do I have watermelon plant growing in the landscaping? And you're like, I don't know. Right? And maybe you don't really know. It's just you were kind of scattering the seed. You may have been doing it on purpose, you may not, but the fact is you got some on the ground there, and then all of a sudden you see this plant growing. And now as a kid, I'm thinking, man, this is awesome. We never have to buy watermelon again. Right? Like as a kid, you think, I'm going to have an unending supply of watermelon, right? And you don't think about the process of how long it takes for a watermelon to get to where it needs to be. You don't think about how long you have to wait between seasons and you're going to have to buy watermelon at the store. You're just like, man, that is amazing. I just spit that seed out there. I didn't do anything to it. I didn't water it. I didn't go and pick around it or really take care of it. I just kind of threw it out there, and next thing I knew, it was growing. And now my dad wants me to go and pull it, right? He wants me to go and yank it out of the ground and get it out of there. And I'm like, no, we can't do that. This man scatters the seed. And then guess what he does? He goes to bed, right? He goes to bed. It says that he sleeps and rises night and day. He just goes about his life. He scatters the seed. He goes about his life. He didn't sit there and wait for the seed to grow. He didn't just sit there and watch the seed like, if I watch it to death, it will grow, right? If I just keep pouring water and keep pouring water and keep pouring water, it will grow. If I pick around it, it will grow. He just threw it out there and he left it to do whatever the seed would do. And when you do that, something happens. The seed sprouts and the seed grows. And Jesus tells us that this man did not know how it happened, right? He was clueless to how it actually happened, but Jesus tells us how. He says the soil produced it by itself, right? It had nothing to do with the man. The man did his job and he scattered the seed, and then he left it to be. He's like, I scattered it. Whatever happens, happens. And Jesus said the soil produced the seed, or produce the sprout by itself. See, the seed grows on its own. It doesn't grow dependent on the skill of the planter. This is where we need to get to when it comes to scattering seed. Some of us are so afraid to say the wrong thing, to not have the words that that person needs to hear today to be saved. And you know what? We do want to desperately see people saved, but can I give you a little bit of relief today and say that it's not your job to save. It's your job to scatter seed. It's your job to speak. It's your job to tell them, to show them. It's not your job to save. This seed, I'm going to tell you that when it lands in the soil, that the seed itself already within it has the potential for life. It already has within it the potential for abundant growth, abundant harvest. And when it's ready, then someone gets to harvest it. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the word of God, guys, in itself, it already has the power and the potential for life. Now, here's the thing, is if it's not sown, if it's not shared, if it's kept silent, if it's kept locked up in your own heart, in your own mind, in your own home, how is it going to grow? Right? You got to scatter it. You got to scatter it, get it out, right? And then watch it grow. As a matter of fact, you don't have to watch it. You'll see one day. You'll be like, how did that happen? How many of you guys have done that where you've spoke to somebody? You shared the good news with them. You shared the gospel. You just prayed for them. You did something simple and small. And how many of you walked away and you're like, well, that kind of stunk, right? That didn't really go anywhere. That doesn't look the way that I thought it was. I thought they were going to be like, thank you, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus, right? Like, that's what we have, this expectation that we have. But I want to tell you that there's times where we do that and then days, months, years later, we see that person and something has grown, right? Something has happened. Something has taken place and we're like, wow, I had no idea. I don't know how this happened. It's kind of how the man was here. He didn't know how it happened. The gospel has the potential for life and abundant harvest. It doesn't require highly skilled planters, and it doesn't require constantly attentive farmers. I How many of you guys have been in that boat too? You're like somebody you care about so bad, you smother them to death with the Bible. You smother them to death with the gospel when really your job was just to scatter the seed and maybe back off and see what the seed can do. But it's like we want it so badly, we want the result so badly that we're like, pour more water on it. Like, why isn't it growing? Weed around it. Why isn't it growing? Dig down there and check and see if the seed is still there. Make sure a bird didn't snatch it away. It's still in there. You cover back. Why is it not growing? We do this spiritually with people. We get so obsessed with the seed growing. And then now, guess what? You're stuck right there on that one seed, and you're not really scattering other seed. We get stuck. Or you give up. You say, well, that didn't work. I'm not doing that again. How many of you guys have been in that boat? I've done that before where I'm like, well, that was kind of a waste of my time. I really poured myself out there, and nothing grew. It's been 10 minutes. I don't understand. I put Miracle-Gro on it, right? It was the Word of God. Isn't that like Miracle-Gro? I mean, this ought to be moving along a little bit faster, but I'm going to tell you that the gospel just needs to be scattered. Like, it just has to be put out there. Just throw it out. Listen, you don't even really have to know how or when or where. You just need to be putting it out. And I'm going to tell you that really you don't necessarily even have to know why. However, if you don't know why, you probably won't actually do it. You have to know that it's life-changing. You have to know that it's life-transforming. And if you've experienced that, how could you not scatter it? How could you not put it out there? If you do, I want to tell you that it will grow, that it will sprout in due time. Just toss it out there the best you can, right? Let the Holy Spirit do the rest. Let the gospel have its work with the power inside it. This is how God operates, right? You know, Jesus at the beginning picks 12. He raises up 12. We see that 12 ended up being 120. We see that 120 ended up being 3,000. That 3,000 ended up being 5,000. That 5,000 today is about 850 million. Now, to some of you, that may seem light. The true number is 2.3 billion, but I'm going with the number of Pentecostal charismatic evangelicals. Okay, when you look at Christians, a lot of other things are kind of lumped in there. I'm going with the ones that believe in the Word as the power of God to change lives, okay? Because that's what it's all based on. If you don't come back to that, like if you're trying to do church without the seed, there's no reason to be doing church. Amen? Okay, so with those, there's about 850 million. That started with 12. That's a pretty good crop, right? It's a pretty good result, and you're like, well, that's over a lot of years. That's a big number. Guys, it's a big, big number. In the church today, there are a lot of evangelism programs. Been there, done that, been through them, read them, studied them. There's a lot of teachings of how to grow the church. And you know, being in a small church that doesn't have a lot of money, I'm always looking for stuff that is free or very cheap. But I'm going to tell you that if it was about a program, if a program would really grow the church, not just this church, I'm talking the church, if I had a program that would grow the church, would I be selling it to churches for $1,000? No, I wouldn't, because I would be like, this is it. If everybody does this, everybody is saved. Why would I be selling that? Right? It's just another strategy. Right? It's not a guarantee, because it's not about strategizing. And I'm not saying we do everything haphazardly. I'm saying that what we see tends to happen is we sit in a room and we talk about it and talk about it and talk about it. Well, if we did this and we did it this way and this worked for these people, so if we tweaked it for our community, and we do all these things and we get so wrapped up and caught up in that we forget to do what? To actually go and scatter the seed, right? We just meet about it and talk about it and plant it, and then on that day that we pick, it rains, two people show up, They go out and get a door slammed in their face. Bam, we're done. We had 40 hours of meetings. We scattered one seed and the bird snatched it, right? And now we're done. No more evangelism. That fizzled out. It failed because we spent so much time trying to figure out how to make it grow. See, that's what we have the meetings about. It's not how to share the gospel. It's how do we make it grow. That's not our job, to make it grow. If we're focused on making it grow, we'll never get to the step of the process that actually matters, which is scattering the seed. The seed, the word of God. Look at how the word can work within you. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 22. By obedience to the truth, having purified yourselves for sincere love of the brothers, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like a flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower fails, but the word of the Lord endures forever, and this is the word that was preached as the gospel to you. Peter says you could be purified. You can be sincere, have this sincere love. You can have this pure heart. Why? How? Because you've been born again of this imperishable seed. When you think of this imperishable seed, it's talking about an eternal seed, something that's not subject to decay or to death. It cannot and will not fail. It cannot be taken from you. It's this imperishable thing. So this the spiritual life implanted by the Holy Spirit to produce new birth, it's unfailing and it's permanent. You guys hear that? It's unfailing and it's permanent. It doesn't give up on you. It doesn't get taken away from you or withdraw from you. It's a permanent thing. Through the word of God, the Spirit uses the word to produce life because it's the truth of the word. It's the gospel that saves. James 1:21, therefore ridding yourselves of all moral filth and evil, humbly receive what? The implanted word, which is able to save you. See, what he's getting at here is he's trying to reinforce again. Right? James is writing this letter after a lot of these other ones have been written, and he's teaching a lot of the same things, just in a little bit stronger language. James is a little more in your face, and he's like, listen, knock it off. Get rid of the filth and the evil in your life and receive the word. Receive what it says into your life because it has the power to save you. It's not just talking about strictly salvation. Again, when you're reading the letters to the churches, you got to think about it's a letter to the church, right? It's to the saved people. And he's saying it has the power to save you. It has the power not just to save and redeem you through Christ, but it has the power to save you from whatever it is that you're facing. Get that implanted word within you. The word is powerful. Listen, there's a reason why we preach the word here at Connection Church. There's a lot of churches, and probably not too many of them locally, but there's a lot of them out there that they just preach topics. Just feel good. This will get everybody happy. Everybody will leave on a good note. Everybody will give more money, right? It's whatever kind of fluff kind of stuff that people want to hear, and they don't ever get to the word. I've listened to a couple of those messages. They make me want to puke. Right? When somebody gets up to preach and they just tell story after story after story after story, and then they say, and here's a scripture to support my story. Right? So my story is what I want you to remember. Here's a scripture that shows that God was in there. Right? He was in that story. That's disgusting. It comes back to the word. If you're not preaching the word, there's really not a reason to be preaching because my stories won't change your life. But the word of God will change your life. Amen? Okay, so we preach the word because it's where the power's at. We're about Jesus. here at this church. We're about Jesus because Jesus is the Word. Read John chapter 1. It says that Jesus is the Word. When you read the Word, you're reading Jesus. When you think about what does God look like, read the Word. You read the Word and you think about, you look at what Jesus did, that shows us, it gives us the full picture, but we're about the Holy Spirit too. Amen? And He works through the Word. You know, if we get a little too crazy and there's no Word and everything's just how we feel, you're going to get off track too, because I'll tell you what, when you start to just be all Spirit, you don't have any grounding in your life. You don't have the thing that draws you back to the center and says, this is the truth. Okay, because if we're just going based off how we feel, how many of you know we can feel pretty good and it be unbiblical? We can feel pretty good and it be ungodly. We can feel pretty good and really we're just surrendered our life to things that make us feel good for the moment. We got to always be grounded by the Word. The Holy Spirit works through the Word. They go hand in hand. You really don't want, I don't want one without the other. I don't even want to be stuck on, have you ever had this question before? What would you rather be stuck on the island with? Only have the Word or only have prayer? I'm like, no, I want them both. Right? Because I'll tell you what, if I don't have a physical book, I've got the Word in here. Right? And nobody's going to stop me from praying. You need them both. You need them both, because otherwise prayer is all Spirit. You need the Word to ground it. You need the Word to keep you on the right track. There's power in the Word to change our lives and change our hearts. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is living and effective and sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as separation of the soul and spirit. Listen, if you're struggling in your life and you're not in the Word, you're going to continue to struggle. Like you're going to. I mean, God can work a miracle, but then what happens when the miracle is over? Like you've got to have something to be basing your life on. And the Word can divide between the soul and the spirit. The Word can bring separation. The Word can bring the healing that you need. It can separate between joints and marrow. That's a pretty fine line in your physical body, for an example. It's able to judge the ideas and the intents or the thoughts of the heart. The Word is. That's all about the Word of God. This is why we scatter the Word, not just our thoughts, not just our plans, not just our ideas. Listen, all Christians have an obligation to scatter the seed. We also have an obligation to water the seed by speaking of our faith, of giving our testimony to others. Listen, it takes all of us scattering as much as we can. I don't know about you, but I think about, you know, the Word tells us that when the fullness of the Gentiles come in, that's when Christ will return. The fullness of the Gentiles, that means all the non-Jewish people who are going to be saved are saved. When that happens, Jesus comes back. I'm going to tell you, we ought to be getting the Word out to the Gentiles. We ought to be getting those seeds scattered out to all the people across the world, because Jesus isn't coming back until we do that. You know, have you ever thought about, like, Lord, why are you taking so long? Like, what's your holdup? And I think a lot of times he's probably pointing the finger right back at the church and saying, well, guys, I'm still waiting on you. Right? I'm still waiting on you. There's people that need the seed scattered to them. And then I'll come back. It takes all of us. It needs to be important in our lives because souls are at stake. Where would we be? I mean, think about your own personal life. Where would you be today if someone else hadn't scattered seed? Where would you be? I'll tell you, it wouldn't be a very pretty picture. I believe in my heart I wouldn't be alive. I really do. I believe in all of my heart, I believe I would not be alive today if someone hadn't scattered that seed. I know that my life was on such a reckless path that it was only a matter of time. It was only a matter of time. But praise God that He had grace upon my life. Praise God that He was calling me and drawing me and that people were scattering seed. Souls are at stake, church. Every person, listen, every person. You think about every person in your life, every person that you know, all of your 1,000 friends on Facebook that you don't know 850 of, but you still, you probably know their faces. Think about all those people. Every single one of them will spend eternity in heaven or in hell. Everyone. There's no one that escapes that. And so when we think about it in that light, it's so desperately important that we scatter seed. Not that we go out and save souls. I know that that's our goal. I'm just telling you, you can't save. You can scatter. You can water. You can do your part, and you let God do his work. Then you say, I'm going to watch. I'm going to wait and see what God can do, what God can grow from that. So what is your part? Maybe scattering the seed. It may be watering the seed. Again, that's just a continuation. But, you know, when you think about scattering seed in the garden, sometimes you got to, if something you want to grow, sometimes you got to put a little bit of water on it. But you know that God also brings some water once in a while. He brings the rain. He helps you out, right? Because his desire is also to see the seed grow, but he uses us at times as well. And you know, this seed, when you think about watering, sometimes you know that seed's been planted, you know that they know the truth. How many of you guys, most of the people in your life, you think they know it, they've heard it, and that's the hardest part, because you're like, well, what am I supposed to do? They already know it. Well, sometimes we have to continue to water it, because what we don't know is we can't see what's under the surface, right? You can't see how close that seed is to breaking through the surface. You ever, I mean, living out here, like I see this every year, but you ever seen a field where it's like you look out and it's just dirt and it rains, and then the next morning, there's a million that have popped up, right? They were just below the surface. They just needed a little bit of water. They just needed a little bit of water, and they all popped up. It's amazing. It's literally miraculous that God works that way, that you see them almost all pop up the same morning, right? It's not like you just see, like, well, there's one row, and like, oh, well, there's the next row. It's like, it just happens. We don't know how close people are to sprouting. But here they're interested. There's something in them that they have interest. They have questions. And you may be the one to water it. John 7, verse 39. He said, on the last and most important day of the festival, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone is thirsty, he should come to me and drink. The one who believes in me, as the scripture has said, will have streams of living water flow from deep within him. Flow from deep within him. Some of you are maybe wondering, because I haven't really been real clear about what does it mean to water? Because is that different than sowing seed? Yeah, it's a little bit different than just sowing seed or scattering seed. Right? When we're doing that, we're just kind of throwing stuff out wherever we go. When we're watering, we're being a little bit more intentional. When we're watering, he's speaking of the Holy Spirit. He says that the living waters will flow out of you. This is speaking of the Holy Spirit. If you continue on in that, Jesus is clear about this. This is how we water the seed. We listen to the Spirit. We're obedient to the Spirit. There's times where, have you ever been in a position where you had to talk to somebody and you're like, I have no idea what I'm supposed to say to this person right now. And you're, again, it kind of goes back to the sowing seed part. You're a little bit scared. Right? Inside you, there's a little bit of fear, a little bit of worry, a little bit of nervousness. You're like, they're searching and they're asking me, right? Like, I am terrified. Can I tell you that if you will trust the Holy Spirit, that he will give you the words to speak? Now, I'm not saying you're going to hear a recording in your head and he's going to be like, repeat after me. I'm saying that if you are filled with the Holy Spirit and you trust him, that as you speak to them, he will give you the words to speak. He'll help you to water. He'll help you to reach the person to, it may not sprout up that moment, right? But you may be the one to water, and the next day, the next person that comes along may be the one that sees it pop up. This is how we partner with God to build his kingdom. Don't you guys think it's amazing that God uses us to build his kingdom? Like if you want to know, why am I here? What is my purpose? Well, first of all, your purpose is to worship God. It's to glorify Jesus. It's to worship him. Like, that's why we're all here. But if you want to know beyond that, like, why am I here on this earth? Because I can do that in heaven. Well, I'll tell you what you can't do in heaven is you can't scatter seed. You can't water that seed. You do that here on earth. That's part of your job here on earth, is that God uses us to scatter and water seed. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says, Paul says this, I planted, Apollos watered, but who gave the growth? God. God gave the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Now the one planting and the one watering are one in purpose. Do you see that? It doesn't matter if you're the one that scattered the seed or if you're the one who's watering. You're just in the same purpose. You're just trying to do the work of God to build the kingdom, and each will receive his own reward according to his labor. This is speaking of heavenly rewards that you'll receive for just being obedient to the Lord. But he says, for we are God's co-workers. You are God's field, God's building. We are co-workers. God uses us in the process. When you think about those other people in your life, it should be, Lord, how can I help? What can I do? What are you showing me to do? Because you're involved in that process. That's why those people are in your life. I know some of you are like, well, I'd kind of like if he would take some of these people and put them in somebody else's life. Listen, he has. Right? He has put them in somebody else's life. And you may be the one to sow the seed and they may be the one to water. But if we're not doing our part, then that terrible person is probably never going to change. Right? I mean, so like when we think about if why is this person in my life? What is God leading you to do? How is he leading you to scatter seed or to water, to reach out to them, to love them, to show them who he is? How is he leading you to do that? Again, we put so much pressure on ourselves, but remember, it's not your job to grow the seed, just to scatter or water, because it grows by the power of God. Again, where is not that important? Where is not that important? But if you look prior to these parables in Mark chapter 4, Jesus kind of tells about the different soil. Right? And he tells us about the soil, and when you read through that, he says, some fell. Right? As he goes through four different types of soil, he says, some fell by the road. Some fell on the rocky ground. Some fell among the thorns. And some fell in good soil. Did you see where any of that was intentionally planted? It all fell. It all fell from the guy who was scattering seed like this. He's throwing it out wherever he can get it. My job is just to get it out. And wherever he's throwing it, some fell in all these different places. Now, of those, only one produced a crop. We see that one of them, Satan snatched it out. As soon as it was thrown out, Satan snatched it. We see another one that it didn't have any deep roots, and as soon as it started to grow, and there was a little bit of turmoil, there's a little bit of wind, it got uprooted, right? There's not enough deep roots for that one. We see another one was choked out by weeds. And Jesus goes on to tell us that that's the deceitfulness of riches and the love of the things of this life, that they choked it out. Somebody hears the good news, they accept the good news, and then all of a sudden, they're like, this doesn't really match up with the rest of my life. I don't want to give up the things of my life, right? And those weeds, the rest of life, chokes it out. But he says, then some falls on good soil. You guys might look around, you might be like, I don't have that good of soil. Like, I got some issues in my life. I'm going to tell you that God's the one that prepares the soil. Right, he prepares the soil. If any of you don't already know this, that the Holy Spirit is constantly constantly working on you. He's constantly after you. Even before you come to know Christ, the Holy Spirit is drawing you. He's wooing you. He's calling you to the Father. He's working on your life. There's this one that produced a crop, a ready heart. It bore fruit. It said 30, 60, or 100-fold. I mean, this is pretty incredible growth that we see here. But it said that it fell in all those places. Why did it fall in all those places? Because it was scattered. Stop looking for good soil. How many of you do that? Right? It's like, you get in a crowd and it's like, who's the guy that if I talk to him, he will get saved today? Who's that guy? Who's the person in my family that if I talk to them, they will not reject me? See, that's where a lot of that comes from. We're afraid to just scatter seed because we don't want to be rejected. So we look and we look and we look and we search for good soil. And it's like, oh, good soil. Yeah, I'll do that. Right? It's like you're going door to door and you're like, oh, I know this guy. He's really nice. I will go to his house. You guys can go over there to the mean lady that slams the door in your face. Right? But this guy's got good soil. I know that he's at least kind and he seems like he's ready. I'll take that risk. I'll take that chance. But you see, the reason that it fell in all these places is because it was scattered. Some will fall on good soil and some will not. But again, that's not your job to pick and choose. It's just your job to scatter. Just your job to scatter. Here's the second parable, and this one's much shorter. The second parable of the seed in Mark chapter 4, verse 30. He said, how can we illustrate the kingdom of God, or what parable can we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed that, when sown in the soil, is smaller than all the seeds on the ground, and when sown, it comes up and grows taller than all the vegetables and produces large branches so that the birds of the sky can nest in its shade. Okay, I'm not getting nearly as deep on this one, but there's a few facts that you need to be aware of. Is when you consider a mustard seed, okay, it's not the smallest seed in the world. CW can probably tell you what the smallest seed in the world is. But it's actually not a mustard seed. However, in this context, in that culture, that region, that time, it would have been the smallest seed that the people would have been aware of. They would have been familiar with the mustard seed, of how small it was and what it did. And then a mustard plant, you know, one, I think in Matthew he says it grows into a tree. However, here in Mark, when you study this out, it actually shows that this one was probably more like a standard mustard plant is what they intended on, because it's more like a shrub. It might get to about 5 feet tall, right? Okay, so not huge, just about 5 feet. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but this out on the corner of this building, there's a tree that used to be a shrub, right? That used to be a bush, now it's a tree. Okay, so a regular mustard plant is just like 5 feet tall. Normally, if it was in the wild and it didn't have things around it, it could grow to be 15 feet or more. But this mustard seed, okay, this particular one we see was planted in a garden. We see this particular one was planted with the vegetables. This particular one is planted to grow a shrub. It's planted to grow a mustard shrub. And we see, based on the location, based on where he put it, among the other vegetables, that he is planting this for a reason, all right? He's planting it because he wants to use the spices for cooking. He wants to use it for medicine. It had great medicinal purposes. And so he plants it for this reason. But what happens? This mustard seed, intentionally planted for a specific purpose, it grows much larger than normal. It grows to be much larger than the regular 5-foot mustard plant. And this doesn't happen. Guys, this doesn't happen in these kinds of settings, these kinds of surroundings. Mark tells us it produced such large branches that the birds were able to nest in its shade. This was a mustard plant that had miraculous growth. This is a mustard plant that God was involved in, right? He did something to cause it to grow. And so here's what the point is of this. This gardener, right, he plants this seed for a purpose, to harvest the mustard. God says, thank you for planting that seed. I'm going to use that, and I'm going to grow this plant to even greater than what it should be, and I'm going to use it to provide shade for birds to nest. Now, I don't know about you guys, but as a farmer or as a planter, I would be upset, right? Stupid mustard plant. Why is it so big, right? Why are these dumb birds in there? Now they're eating my other stuff. They're causing me problems. We would find ourselves in a place where we might be kind of upset. How many of you would be like me and you would think, that's not why I planted that seed? This is a disaster. I'm a little bit dramatic, okay? And that's probably something I would say. I would come in the house and I'd be like, Christy, this is a disaster. I don't even know why I planted that stupid seed in the first place. This is, my whole plan is ruined. These stupid birds are out here. Like, is it okay for me to shoot the birds? She'd be like, no, leave them alone. Let them nest in the tree. But they're ruining my plans. Right? This is where we would go with it. What happened to my mustard plant? What happened? See, this parable speaks of a couple of problems that we have with scattering seed. First of all is that sometimes we're small-minded about the seed that we're scattering. Right? A mustard seed, again, was small, but when you had planted it, it would grow into great bushes, great trees if they're in the wild. If you're sitting here right now, some of you are thinking along these lines, like, what do I have to scatter? Right? What do I have to scatter? Listen, you have the Word of God, and it might not be much. Maybe what you know is John 3:16. Maybe that's all that you know. Can I tell you that that's enough of a seed? Can I tell you that that seed by itself has enough power within it that if you share it with somebody, that God could grow it and use it in ways that you would never even think are possible? Can I tell you that the seed that you have is not too little? Can I tell you that the seed that you have can accomplish much greater and much more than what you think that it can? Some of you are like, I don't know John 3:16. That's okay. Read the Word. Read the Word. Listen to the Word. Learn the Word. Listen, I'm memorizing a couple of verses a month, and it's hard. Right? Like, the verses that I know from teaching and preaching the Word of God. Right? From studying it, from reading them over and over, over a course of years, not days. And it's like, then the new month comes, and I got two more verses, and then I forget the other ones. Right? So I'm just telling you, you just might need to hone in on a couple of verses where it's like, I'm gonna get these words planted so I can use these to speak to people. It's more than enough. You don't have to be able to know, you don't have to be able to quote an entire book of the Bible to be able to scatter seed, okay? Read it, listen to it. You don't have to be a teacher. Remember, go back to the first parable. You don't even have to be educated. Let me tell you one of the most amazing things about this church and the place that we're at right now, and it's still today, I look back on it and I'm amazed. When I got hired here, I was not educated. Right? I didn't go to school to be a minister. I was in the church. I learned a lot from being here. I learned a lot from being at Sunday school and Bible study and being here Sunday mornings and being around other believers and talking about the Word, and that's how I learned what I knew. Now, I did go to school. I'm still going to school. Two classes away from getting my bachelor's degree in divinity, but I'm just going to tell you that it's not all about being educated, so you can scratch that off your excuse list. I'm not educated. I don't know enough. I'll leave that to the people that are smarter than me. Nope. Take the little bit of seed that you have and go and use it. Don't be using excuses. tell what you know to be true. So much of this world is operating on feelings and emotions, right? Coming back to that. I know I've talked about this already, but it's a big thing. Feelings and emotions. Do you know that that is the most volatile thing in the world, is our feelings and emotions? We're up, we're down, 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 over and over and over. Right? We talked about this in Bible study, I think, even on Wednesday. It's like, what's the one thing in your life that's constantly changing? My emotions, they're constantly changing. If someone came up here and kicked me in the shin right now, my emotions would change. Don't try it. I have secretly stashed bodyguards in this room, and they're fast, all right? My emotion will change because I'll be laughing at you because you'll be hurt by somebody else, not me. I'm preaching. I can't hurt anybody right now. But, you know, our emotions can change so quickly. We're to get a hold of our emotions. How? We get a hold of our feelings by submitting them to the Spirit and to the Word, okay? The Word changes things. And so here's what I want to tell you that you need to do. Some of you are like, I'm not about going into Walmart. Any of you guys follow, some of you probably do, follow Todd White. I know Cheryl probably does. Todd White is like, there's a piece of me that I want to be Todd White minus the dreadlocks, okay? But Todd White is the kind of guy that goes to Walmart and just will just walk straight up to somebody. Spirit of the Lord tells him to say something. He'll speak something to him. It's exactly what they need to hear, and he'll pray for them, and they'll be healed. I mean, he posts videos of this stuff all the time where he's doing these things. And so Todd White is a pretty amazing man of God. But I'm going to tell you that I don't go to Walmart and look around like, okay, God, who can I get? Right? That's not my personality. Now, if God tells me to do it, I will do it. That's the thing you need to know about me, is I'm obedient to God to the point that I'm preaching today, okay? But if he tells me to do something, I will do it. However, that's not my personality, and you guys would be like, what's up with him? That doesn't seem natural. It doesn't really fit him. There's very simple ways you can scatter seed. You can scatter seed. Most of you people I know are on Facebook. You can scatter seed all day long on Facebook. I'm going to tell you something. There's the ability to turn off notifications about if your post was liked. I want to encourage you to do that. Because I'm going to tell you that when we post things on social media, even things about God, there's a piece of us, there's something in us that we're looking to see how many people liked it, who liked it, and then we start to think, well, why didn't that person like it? Or why did this not get very many likes? I seriously did this this test one time. I posted a stupid picture of a cat. It was just like a cute little cat, and it got a whole bunch of likes, and then I posted a scripture, and it got like 2 likes. But then I started to ask the people around me, did you see the picture of the cat? And they're like, yeah. Like, did you like it? They're like, yeah. Like, well, did you see the scripture? No, I didn't see it. Right? And then I would ask other people, and they'd be like, no, I didn't see the cat. Yes, I did see the scripture, but no, I didn't like it. Like, I just don't really do that. I just kind of scroll through, and I read stuff, and I don't really interact. What I'm telling you is that sometimes things are not as they seem, right? So we can get so caught on those things, but sharing stuff on social media, sharing testimonies, sharing stuff from the church page, sharing sermons. I'm going to tell you that there's people in this room that before they came to church here, they watched the sermons online, and I had no idea. But I'll tell you what, since we started putting them online, I've been, like, very strict about, like, telling the media people, we got to get it up on Sunday. We got to, like, the audio, we got to get up immediately, because somebody might need to hear that, right? In the video, I get up as soon as I can, but I'm telling you, you may put a video out there, it might get 2 likes. That doesn't mean 2 people listened to it. It means that only 2 of the people that listened to it liked it. The rest of them were like, it wasn't very good. All right? But when we put things out like that, guys, we don't know the whole story. We don't know the whole reach of the seed that we're scattering. There you go. The seed that we're scattering. We don't know the whole reach. We don't know the fullness of where it goes, how it gets watered, how it blossoms. We don't have any idea. It's not about the size of the seed. You know, you may not share something that goes viral. You might not share something that goes viral, but you might share something that touches one heart. One heart, and you may never know it. Do you think that would be worth it? Yeah, it would be worth it. We have to let the Holy Spirit have his way with that seed. Sometimes we sow it with an expectation that goes unmet. Sometimes we sow it and we get upset and we stop scattering, but what we need to know is that God may want to use that seed in a different way than what you wanted to use it. You look at this person that you've invested in, that you've poured in, that you picture them growing a certain way and doing a certain thing, and you're like, well, why aren't they doing that? That's why I invested in them. That's why I sowed that seed. You see them doing this or that, becoming this or that, and guess what? You can't control the seed. You can't control the seed because you can't control God. That's a sobering message to some of you. It was a sobering message to me when I thought about it. You can't control the seed because you can't control God. He's going to do what he wants, when he wants, how he wants. All you can do is plant and water. He grows. He grows. We've got to stop trying to control. That's what our problem is. We like to control things, right? We like to control things. But our job is to scatter. Keep scattering. Water, keep watering, and trust. You guys would stand with me this morning. As we wrap up and open up for an altar call, I'd like for you to consider a couple of things this morning. If you would bow your heads and close your eyes. And I do this just so you can just try to focus. Just try to think about you. Try to hear God's voice. When the seed is scattered and it falls on good soil, it takes root, it grows, and then it's time to harvest. Now, some of you may be at this point today. Some of you, you've had some seed scattered and it's been watered, and we watered a little bit more today with something that has happened here today, and God is beginning to grow that seed, and it's just about to burst forth from beneath the ground. Some of you are right there. It's you're like, I'm so close, and I think today is the day. I think today is the day to give my life to the Lord, like for real. Today's the day to stop messing around. I'm going to be committed. I'm going to be sold out. I'm going to take that step, and if that's you today, I want you to not delay. We open up the altars in a moment. I want you to come. I want you to find one of the prayer workers down here. I want you to tell them. The rest of you, what's stopping you from scattering seed? You need to do an evaluation this morning and try to figure out, have the Holy Spirit reveal to you, is it fear that is within me? Is it that fear of rejection? Because oftentimes it is. Can I encourage you with the fact that Jesus said that when they reject you, they're rejecting him? They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting him. Your job's just to scatter. Don't worry about the rejection. Is it because you're insecure? You're not sure what to say? I'm going to tell you, just trust that the Holy Spirit will tell you what to say. He'll give you those words. And I'll tell you what, when you're scattering seed, I don't believe that you can mess up. I think your job is just to get it out there. What if you're not confident enough in yourself? I'm pretty bashful. I'm pretty shy. read it off of a piece of paper. I'm serious. I'm just trying to give you a practical thing. Like, it's about getting it out. The word tells us that the word of God will not return void. If it gets out there, it will accomplish its purpose. And if your reason is unbelief, I want to tell you that God understands that. He already knows that. And I want to tell you that he can help your unbelief. Some of you may be those other kinds of soil where it's like, I'm not quite good soil. I feel like I hear it and it gets choked out by the things of life. I feel like I hear it and it just goes in one ear and out the other. And, some of you might just be thinking, it's like I hear it and I stick with it for a little bit. It's like my roots get, I think they're deep, but then some things happen in my life and it's like it gets uprooted. Can I tell you today that the God who grows the seed is the God who prepares the soil? That today he can do the work in your life to prepare that soil to the place where it'll stick. So Father, this morning, as we get ready to open the altars, I just pray that you would speak to people's hearts. The Lord, you are the one that knows the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. You're the one that discerns the heart. You're the one that knows the true reality of where we're at and where we're at with the seed. And so, Lord, we just ask that you would speak to us. We pray for freedom today. We pray for you to move in our hearts and our minds in a way that whatever holds us back from scattering seed, that there would be nothing holding us back. Help us to hear your voice clearly, to be obedient. Lord, that we want to be like the early church. Lord, we want to reach the 120 and then the 3,000 and the 5,000. That doesn't mean they all have to come here. We just want to reach those people and get them plugged into you somewhere. Will you show us how this morning? In Jesus' name.